Hello, and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It has become a front-burner story in Michigan politics, whether Dr. Abdul El-Sayed is eligible to run for governor of Michigan, which, if successful, would make him America's first Muslim-American governor. But questions about his voting record and eligibility are not going away. With us now are It's Just Politics team of Zoe Clark and Rick Pluta. Zoe, bring us all up to speed. Is this question around El-Sayed's eligibility to run for governor a valid one?
Yes, this came up. We've got to give a shout out to Bridge Magazine for first kind of uncovering this issue about whether or not Abdul El-Sayed is eligible to be able to run for governor under the Michigan Constitution. At issue right now is his voter registration. The Michigan Constitution says in order to run for governor, you got to be 30 years old. That is fine for Abdul El-Sayed. He is 33. But you also have to have been a registered Michigan voter for 4 years. And this is where we find some trouble.
And Rick, the question does...
Article 5, Section 22.
Well, there you go, pointing to our Constitution. So does voting in another state invalidate someone's Michigan voter registration?
The answer to the first question is a definitive, we don't know.
Oh, okay.
Which, of course, makes this story even more complicated. Mm.
I checked with the Bureau of Elections, and I said, if you got word that someone had voted in another state, like if you get word that someone has a driver's license in another state, does that invalidate the Michigan registration the same way that it does the Michigan driver's license? And the issue in that is actually the interstate system for alerting Michigan secretaries of state and MDVs about driver's license just isn't as robust. So it's kind of a, you know, if a tree falls in the forest and no one is there, does it make a sound question? Could El-Sayed have just returned to Michigan, resumed voting in Ann Arbor, and this wouldn't be a problem? That's what this likely challenge will probably focus on.
Just to remind everyone, he was in New York City going to school and also teaching.
Teaching and voted there in 2012.
The campaign has responded to all of this by calling it dirty politics, an effort to, by the Democratic Party establishment, air quotes here, to get rid of the more progressive candidate. And there has been talk among El-Sayed supporters of racism, as they liken this to the birther attacks against former President Obama. So how is this response being received by Michigan's Democrats, Zoe?
Well, I think for some Democrats, this is a sign that this campaign is fighting back very, very hard on an issue that many, I think, would argue doesn't have to do with racism or birtherism and simply has to do whether or not this Democratic candidate crossed the T's and dotted the I's when it comes to the Michigan Constitution. They have come out very hard last week against this Bridge Magazine article to the reporters, and then even some of Abdul's supporters, again, calling the media for folks who are bringing up this question, part of just this sort of smear campaign to get Abdul El-Sayed out of the race. The reporting that Rick Pluta and I have been doing, that is not the case at all. Because let me give you sort of an example, right? And this would, for the Democrats, be a worst case example. Let's say El-Sayed does win the primary, right? He's still on the ballot. Say no one charges this in court. He's still on the ballot. You can be pretty darn well sure that Republicans, after that primary, if he was on the ballot, would challenge this. And if a court does say, indeed, you are ineligible, Democrats would be left come November without a Democratic candidate on the ballot. So you can call that whether or not this is about, you know, birtherism or racism, you can claim that. But what is at issue here is a real constitutional concern.
And Rick, over the weekend, you dug into El-Sayed's claim that he would have voted in the 2016 primary election, but the lines were too long. What'd you find?
What Zoe and I found is that his defense is problematic. The church where he says he voted, two precincts vote there. They're both low turnout precincts. There were no complaints about long lines there. And in fact, very few people relative to other elections even voted there. What were our numbers, Zoe?
Well, there were a couple different precincts, but when you actually add up the numbers, it's nowhere close to the turnout when there were, you know, maybe some lines in 2012, maybe some lines in 2008. And so what it specifically came down to was, on average, maybe about 30 voters an hour.
And we talked to a few people who vote in that precinct who said that lines in the March 2016 primary in that particular church were not an issue.
But then you also found out, as far as the date of the primary and when he re-registered to vote in Michigan.
Right. At issue here is the fact that now it's come out, and this was actually other reporters who found this out, but he said he went to this Detroit polling place to vote on March 8th. At issue, though, is he was not registered twice. He was not registered to vote in Detroit before March 8th. He didn't register to vote in Detroit until later in March.
And he did that when he renewed his driver's license. So the question there is, what made you think you were registered in Detroit since you still had a New York driver's license and obviously hadn't done anything affirmatively to register at a Detroit address?
What are people in the Democratic Party saying about all of this?
Well, I think there's a real fear for the party heading in the 2018 election, you know, a la Bernie versus Hillary. In a lot of ways, that's what Abdul El-Sayed versus Gretchen Whitmer has sort of become in Michigan right now. You know, El-Sayed, he was a Bernie supporter, Gretchen Whitmer, you know, a Hillary supporter. I want to make this one note, though. I was in Ypsilanti for the Washtenaw County Democratic Forum on Saturday, where all four candidates running to be the Democratic candidate for governor were. And I have to tell you that the crowd there watching after the debate was lined up dozens and dozens to talk to Abdul El-Sayed. He got claps. There was genuine excitement for this candidate. And so aside from all of these legal challenges and questions, I think the party is at this crossroads that here is this young candidate that obviously is inspiring voters. And I get that there's a sense of, oh, is this Bernie all over again, right? That the establishment is coming in to take over this other candidate. But again, I just go back to the simple fact of you got to cross the T's, you got to dot the I's. But this is going to mean something for the party if Abdul El-Sayed does, let's say, drop out of the race or decides, you know, not to run because of court challenges and things like that. There is going to be a group, a part of Michigan voters who are incredibly disappointed and are going to be pointing fingers whether or not it's fair.
Our It's Just Politics team of Zoe Clark and Rick Pluta. Thanks so much, guys.
You bet.
Thanks, Cindy.